Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Today's Sunday session is brought to you thanks to the fine folks at More Beer. Visit them right now at morebeer.com.
I want people to believe in me, and I want people to believe in me when they taste my beer. That's what it's about.
You mean you laid underneath it and tried to
put his tongue up the bung?
I like to actually scoop up the yeast and look at it.
7 o'clock came real early that next morning.
Oh, yeah, man. Thanks for dumbing that down for us. You did an awesome job.
It's all about food and beer.
Punch me in the junk.
Man, that thing was thick.
The point is, just beat it like it's your dick.
I like to smell it afterwards.
Are you being sarcastic right now?
Yeah. Bring your body armor.
I ran into my junk once on a ball valve on a kettle.
That's a true happy ending.
Now, live from the Brewing Network studios in Northern California, this is the radio program for home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, and beer geeks. It's your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers together with, well, expert drinkers. This is the radio program with a head on it. This is The Session.
Welcome, everybody. It's The Session. Here we are, the mighty, mighty Session. And we have a great show for you, as always. I feel like I say that all the time, Tasty, but...
We always deliver. Why not say it?
Right. Yeah. I think so, too.
Yeah.
I feel like...
And they wouldn't be tuning in if we, you know, if they couldn't accept our form of quality, you know?
Right.
Yeah, so, yeah.
I believe that. I believe that very, very thoroughly.
Yes.
We have 4 generals on the show tonight. They're from Renton, Washington, or as some of us would say, Washington. We're going to be talking with Ross and Mary Hudspeth, I believe. That is how you pronounce their name. Why is my microphone so hot? I think it's fine. Sounds fine, right?
Sounds fine to me, but I don't know.
I don't know either. Why don't we just turn it down a little bit? I feel like everything in the studio is every time I come in, it's just a little bit wonkier. Like, I'm turning it all the way down. I don't know if you can even hear. See, that sounds different. I don't know. Whatever, dude. I'll adjust it later. Hopefully everything's fine. Whatever. Every time, man. Every time there's something wrong. So, okay, we don't have Warren in the studio because apparently he did some talk, which I don't know why he didn't mention this at all. Maybe he did and I didn't hear about it.
I saw some social media that he was speaking, but that's not today, is it?
No, it was over the weekend.
But he has family back there, I think, or something, doesn't he?
No, Candy does. But so he was back in the Midwest somewhere doing a talk for something. I don't even know.
Yeah.
And apparently he misplaced his phone, which will surprise nobody.
Well, but losing the phone, that's pretty common. Misplaced, yeah. This means you lost it, you don't know where.
Right, exactly. So he stayed an extra day to look for it.
Oh, retrace the steps or whatever he had to do.
Yeah, and so as a result, he's not getting into like 9:30 tonight.
Oh.
And he didn't find it. He ended up not finding it.
Oh, that's too bad.
Bev, how do we sound?
She goes, oh, we started?
Go ahead.
Still fine.
Yeah. Because I don't know, man. Everything's spiking real hard, but I guess we're just going to go through it and deal with it in post. I don't know.
I'll ask the chat.
Yeah, please do.
Well, sorry, our guys might have messed
ask
it up.
Guest 169.
See?
Because that's who I am.
See, you sound super garbled right there. You sounded terrible.
rude.
Yeah, no, I'm serious. You sounded awful. Right, Casey?
Some clipping, yeah.
It's not just me, right?
Yeah. It's not getting the full frequency response. I'll just talk in a monotone.
Hello, this is Tasty. I'm here to tell you things.
Okay, actually, you're right.
I know.
Yeah, I didn't have my. I just have my headphones turned up really loud. I didn't have them on, but yeah, you're right. It sounds terrible.
You sound gross. Sing for us. Sing a couple bars of something.
No.
You sounded gross. It's like you have a compressor on or something. It's real weird. Yeah, it's weird. Anyway, today's show is brought to you by More Beer. Fabulous folks at More Beer who've been sponsoring this show since before it was born-ted. And I feel like if they weren't all in with this show and this network in general, I don't think the band would have really started.
We wouldn't have got out of the nursery.
There's no way.
We'd have died.
So that being said, you should go over to morebeer.com because they've teamed up with the great John Palmer to make 27 beer kits that are based on the recipes found in Brewing Classic Styles, which is the best book ever written by Palmer and Jamil Zainchef. Even though it doesn't have a foreword by me, it's still a pretty good book. Yeah. These kits are true to style and are within BJCP guidelines, enabling them to be easily entered into that upcoming competition. Buy two kits and get fast and free shipping from More Beer.
Fast and free, that's how I like them.
Shipping, candy, beer, yeah, like...
You name it, immediate.
Just whatever you
free
got, man.
Fast.
Whatever you got. speaking of fast and, well, not really free, but sort of, I guess. I was watching Netflix.
People are doing that?
Over the weekend. You heard about this?
Yeah.
You heard about this Netflix thing?
Yeah.
I think it might catch on.
Catch it on, yeah.
And, man, there's a dog shit pile movie and they're called, like, Extinction or something like that with Michael Pena.
Wow.
You know who that guy is?
I know the actor, yeah, sure.
He acts like he's made of cardboard. He has the man can show no emotion at all, and the movie's just terribly written. It's terribly written.
He works cheap.
And I hated it. I hated it. It was atrocious.
Why did you keep watching it? Because you had to see how it got better?
Was it the one about the aliens?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I watched that last night. It was bad.
It was terrible, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sitting there, and because I think I know everything about movies and script writing, because I have a script, so if anyone wants to buy my script, I'll sell it to you. and I look at, I move the mouse to see how long we've been in the movie, because I think it's almost over, and it's 18 minutes, 20 minutes into the movie, and I look at Taryn, and I go, it's a bold move waiting till 20 minutes into the movie to actually have some action happen.
Yeah.
It was terrible. It was the slowest fucking thing in the universe.
I watched two movies last night that were both Netflix movies, and they both were awful. The other one was, I don't remember what it was called, but it was with Forrest Whitaker. And,
Jesus Christ.
Another actor named Theo James. But, dude, that movie was 2 hours long, and it was atrocious.
Buns. It was cheeks.
It was worse. It was balls.
Man.
It was awful.
You guys aren't helping Netflix out here tonight.
No, it was pretty terrible.
Couple of strikes.
Netflix can eat me. Well, you know, they have a lot of content that's just terrible.
It's just not good.
There's been articles written about it.
Of, like, the six Netflix movies I've watched, I think I've liked one.
Of, like, the Netflix originals.
And it was...
Yeah, that's what these are, right?
They're
romance comedy. Like, I had zero expectations,
right.
So it was fine.
Yeah, right. But I didn't have any expectations with Expedition or... What it expired? Experiential date.
Annihilation?
Experience. Literally?
I think it was...
I can't think of the name.
Intentionally
I think
forgot.
It was Annihilate.
No, it started with an E. Extension. Experience. Anyway,
I blocked it out.
But I had no expectations. I'm like, okay, I've heard it was kind of bad, but woof, dude. Woof. And apparently Netflix is doing this. They're so hungry for content. They'll just make goddamn anything.
Wow.
It's
it must
bad.
Cost something to make it, but I guess it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and they just and that's the beauty of their thing is like they don't really go by if the rating system or whatever. It's if a certain number of people watch it, then they feel they've contributed to their library, and that's how you get money. Like if you have a series, that's how they get money. They track how many people watch it.
Oh,
yeah, and that's it.
It's like a YouTube channel. I see.
Yeah.
I gotcha. So if your Netflix made for Netflix movie does well, you do make more money. Your production company, your actors. I'll get paid more or whatever.
Yeah.
Cool.
Anyway, I don't know why I brought that up. It was terrible.
Well, no, it was just a bad
Extinction.
Extinction. Yeah, I wish that movie would go extinct. But Michael Pena, dude, he just, the kid shows no emotion. And, like, his family's getting kidnapped and shot at, and he just,
I don't want to give anything away about the movie, because maybe that was intentional, but, like, it was bad.
No, it was terrible. Anyway, I'm looking forward to tonight's guest, Tasty, because they are...
well, they're generals, for one thing. I mean, it's,
then there's four.
Everybody's got a high rank there.
Right. Tons of loggers.
Oh, I love loggers.
They love doing focus on loggers.
Logger season.
And so they are going to... I believe they sent us a Helles, which is always awesome.
A
Mexican dark lager.
Oh,
a Weizenbach.
Okay. Wow.
And I know this isn't a lager, but I'm still really excited about it. A traditional English bitter.
Hmm.
I mean, you know, a milk stout and, okay, a hazy IPA, but that's fine. I'll forgive them because they have they have a really good lineup of other beers.
Yeah, they're trying to sell beer at their place, I'm sure.
So. You have to,
people want that hazy shit, you know.
They really do, man. And like I've said before, I'm not gonna dog on them too much because they have a wide selection of other beers, and that's okay. You mix it up a little bit. But those places you have five taps and four of them are hazy, like, get out of my face. I'm not trying to do that. But I'm really excited to talk to Ross and Mary tonight. We're going to talk about lagers. And like I said, Warren isn't here, which is a shame for him. I invited Nate, but I didn't hear back from him in time. So, you know, here we are, Tasty. It's just you and me, dude.
We got this. Bring on those lagers.
Let's go. Let's do this whole thing right now. We are going to do a little bit of feedback today.
Who's it brought to us by today?
Beer Law Center. John at the Beer Law Center, who, speaking of books written by handsome people, he has a book that I wrote the foreword to. So you should go check that out, too. But John's a good dude. He protects your trademark, and he will also help you navigate all of the filing paperwork that is necessary to start up a fermentation-based business. And even though if you may not be in North Carolina, he can still at least give you some pointers and some guidelines.
And he knows the federal really well, too.
Exactly right. Okay, this is a blast from the past here, Tasty. This guy is called Brett, and he says, hey there, I was just searching for the funny Crest, maybe it's craft beer, the funny craft beer debate in Alabama, whatever that means. And I found our friend Alvin Holmes, remember from the Chivas Regal, is certified healthy, that guy. He just retired, apparently, Alvin Holmes has. And Brett was nice enough to give us the link to the story. And apparently, Alvin Holmes has, quote, joy in his heart. Joy in my heart, I guess it's a quote, following the election defeat. And
got defeated. Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. He did not get reelected. He did not retire gracefully, I guess you should say. He got defeated in battle.
Probably the Mead lobby, I figured. Got him thrown out.
Very powerful. Yeah. Very powerful people. But I was reading a little bit about his career, and the guy's done a lot of good, a lot of cool stuff. Says he helped make Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday a state holiday in 1984. This is Alabama, by the way. He worked for almost two decades to get the Confederate flag removed from the top of the state capitol, which came down in 1993. Throughout his career, he tried to ensure that African Americans had access to state government jobs, especially professional ones. He says, when I arrived, the only blacks they employed were janitors and maids. I feel good about the accomplishments I've made. I'm so happy that the people gave me a long time to serve. This article goes on to say, but it's a legacy with if it's a legacy with accomplishments, it's also one of some unusual episodes and an outspokenness that on some issues seem necessary and productive, and other times seems hyperbolic and led to strange moments.
That's how we do it.
Yeah, right. Holmes first ran for the Alabama House of Representatives in 1974.
Wow.
In his first race, Holmes told the advisor he opposed tax increases, wanted to make an effort to see more blacks working as employees in the state house, and more benefits to veterans. Fighting for fair racial representation runs through Holmes' career and was an issue on which he could show toughness and savvy, blah, blah, blah. This is pretty funny. In 1975, during his first full year in the body, Holmes brought a resolution to the floor of the House of Representatives that he got passed on a quick voice vote. Most representatives only later realized that they approved the document asking state departments to hire black employees. The advisor, this is the Montgomery advisor, the paper this comes from, the advisor quoted one white legislator saying, quote, do you know what that little son of a bitch did after the vote? He goes, and Alan Holmes says, I think maybe they'll pay more attention next time. Blah, 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 blah. Fight over Confederate flag in 1993. He said Governor Guy Hunt, who was opposed to removing the flag, says he called him one of the most notorious racists who ever served in the Senate. Not only a racist, but a stupid racist. and I think that's pretty funny. He later threatened to blow up a state package of incentives for Mercedes-Benz after meeting with black lawmakers canceled. So fighting a lot for black rights, and that's really cool. Obviously, he said, but, you know, he said some weird shit. And it says, during a debate over a craft beer bill in 2008, Holmes started his time at the podium with, what's wrong with the beer we got? Which became a brief internet sensation. And I can only think that they're talking about us.
I'm sure. I don't think who else would have.
who else would have given a shit?
Yeah.
Especially in 2008. What was the craft beer internet scene like in 2008?
Yeah. There weren't many people like us doing what we're doing, right?
Yeah. So I'm just going to go ahead and take and take credit for that.
Yeah.
I wonder if we have that song still. Do you think we... what the hell was it even called?
Oh, it's in there because Scott plays it at the beginning of every episode of the Sour Hour.
Oh, he does?
Oh, then we can't
play it. Oh, then I'm not going to play it.
No.
Basically,
we don't want to go that low.
Anything they do, I don't want to do. Including talking to you, Bev. Bev, what's your thought? Do me a favor. Do some homework. Do a book report on... The Old Man in the Sea, and by the end of the show, I want on my desk. I want one page, single space, please. That's like that they give you homework, right? Yeah. Okay. This is from Dan Webster. He says, "Hey, team, new listener here since around November of last year, and I just wanted to give you a shout to say how much I enjoy the session. The banter and humor with a U is thoroughly entertaining, and I even learn a few things." He said a fee things, but I auto-corrected for him, so it's fine. I'm his Siri. My best friend of 30-plus years and I are starting up our own craft brewery, so maybe someday we'll be on the show. We take possession of our property November 1st and have a lot of work ahead of us. We have a great relationship with one particular brewery called Moody Ales. It sounds like a brewery I would open, in a suburb of Vancouver, BC, called Port Moody. There's a rad scene there with four breweries in a row. Only about a 10-minute walk between the furthest two points.
Wow, that's a good place to be.
That is, they have to have some crazy, like, street festivals.
Yeah, you could block off the whole street.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the bachelor parties that just must roll through there?
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah,
great.
But it's Canada, so I feel like everyone would be really polite.
That's Canada,
and like,
that's fine.
Yeah,
they're apologizing all the time.
Might be cool to get one or all four of them on the show in the future. Definitely not all four. That would probably be annoying. But check out the bcaletrail.ca website.
No.
Blah, blah, blah. Keep up the good work, guys. And, Dan. Oh, hey, here you go. He says, give Container Brewing a follow on Instagram if you want to keep up with us as we build out. Container Brewing.
Okay. Well, one container is enough.
A little free plug there for you.
Yeah.
This is from someone called JP Sucks, and his email address is jpistheworst6969. I won't give you, the rest of it, but I feel like it was pretty funny.
Is that a Gmail account?
I'm not even going to say it. Hello, asshole, he starts. First off, I would really like to support the Brewing Network using the Amazon link, but it has not allowed me to click on anything. I went through and tried to change my settings to try and get it to pop up, but I just can't figure it out. Not sure if it's a problem on my end or if it's something you guys can fix. I'd like to give back, but I am way too poor to even enlist as a private in your shitty army. I mean, I don't know. If it's not working for you...
First I've heard anybody having that problem. Of course, those don't go through me, but I'm sure we'd mention it if it was a problem and we'd fix it. But
yeah, I mean, maybe try another browser. Maybe you have something weird going on your browser.
Could be blocking something. Or.
Secondly, I have a question about sparging. I've been trying to increase my efficiency lately, and I think I've narrowed it down to the sparge. I don't have any fancy way of doing it. I just get my water to 170 and slowly pour over my grain bed using a pot and a strainer. My question is, how much sparge water do I use? I read in How to Brew that I'm supposed to use 1.5 times the amount of mash water, but I've been using the Morbier sparge water calculator, and their suggestion is much lower, like way lower. What the fuck? I need help. Which one is right? More importantly, which one is wrong? Is my method stupid and am I the dumb asshole? Am I leaving sugars in the mash? Life is full of questions. Cheers to you guys and keep up the good work. As always, suck at JP. from JP Sucks.
Yeah. All right. Dan, what's his name? Dan Webster?
No, JP Sucks.
Oh, that's JP Sucks.
That's
right.
His name.
Oh, man. Okay, JP yeah. Sucks. Yeah. Well, he's got to remember, he's brewing to a volume, right? The amount of spargeware you need is the amount of spargeware that gets you to your pre-boil volume. You just don't like, oh, I'll sparge, you know, this much or that much. You know, you want to do a full boil, you got to, you know, you want to get to that volume.
Yeah.
You know, that's how much you need. My system, it's always equal to my batch size.
Yeah, exactly.
If I'm doing a 12-gallon, making 12 gallons of wort, I got to have 12 gallons of sparge.
Exactly right. Yes. So measure in your kettle, account for boil off. You'll probably boil off, I don't know, depending on your kettle, a gallon and a half, maybe. I don't know. You can try it. Measure that point. If, you know, so if you're 5 gallons, if you have a 5-gallon kettle, you know, six, or if you have a 5-gallon batch, you want to end up with 5.5 gallons. You probably start with 6.5.
Right.
And then you just sparge to that.
You get more sparge water than you need, and then you run off till you get the pre-boil volume that you want.
Right.
And the gravity should be what you've calculated that gravity should be. If it's not, then you use the wrong calculation, and
then
you have to make some adjustment there. You have to add more water or let it run longer, or, you know, let the sparge run longer. If you just make a little bit more beer, you have to change the hopping regimen to add more hops because you're making more beer. A lot of which you're going to throw away when you're done boiling. That's all the downfall of is missing your target gravity.
Yes, absolutely. Like when I used to brew, on a system like that, I would just get a full kettle of sparge water.
Yeah,
and I would probably have several gallons left over, depending on what kind of beer I was making. But then that's your cleaning water, so it's never really going to go to waste.
Exactly.
And it's also less math you got to do. You don't have to worry about it.
You treat yourself like a brewery would. You just have a hot liquor tank. You don't measure. You can have a flow meter, I guess, if you wanted to, like, but you don't really need it. Most breweries don't even use them because, again, they're brewing to a volume. That's what they're doing. Their recipes by volume. They collect a volume.
Exactly right. Yeah. So there you go, JP Sucks.
get a bunch of sparge water.
Yeah, get a bunch of sparge water.
Until you get the right amount of pre-boil volume. That's what you're sparging too.
I wonder how he's doing it because he has a strain. Well, he said he has a second pot, so yeah, he should be fine.
Yeah, he's just
so spinning. Is your method stupid? No. Are you a dumb asshole? Maybe. I don't know. Jury's still out. Are you leaving sugars in the mash? Taste it. Dig down like I don't know, 3 or 4 inches because the top is always going to be super dry of sugars. But dig down and then taste it. And then if you are leaving sugars, but I also want to know what your starting gravity is, what your target is supposed to be. Like that's going to tell you a lot of numbers too. But, you know, because you might be doing it a fine way, but maybe you're not super efficient at sparging even with your little strainer.
Yeah, no, I like your idea of tasting the grain. And taste different areas. If the edges are sweeter, you're probably not getting as much flow through your grain bed.
Yeah. So there, JP Sucks. Speaking of sucks, my kid sucks, dude.
Oh, what is she? 5 months old?
She's four months.
4 months.
But she's like super gassy now. She's not sleeping. And I was just not into it.
You actually expected a perfect child, huh?
Well, that's what I was sold. I was sold a bill of goods, Tasty, that I didn't haven't delivered yet. Yeah. I don't know, man. I just the problem is, dude. Excuse me. I get really frustrated with shit, and it's not fun, especially working this show, like this shift, because I have to leave early and drop the kid off at Taryn's work, and we swap the kid, and then I come in here early and whatever. When I'm hosting the show, I have to come in earlier,
right.
And if she doesn't take the naps when she's supposed to take the naps, then I can't do my other work for my other two jobs and then come and do this and then hopefully take a nap.
Every day is a challenge in terms of logistics, I see.
Yeah, especially
she's
just
got
on
her
these
own
Mondays.
Thing. Yeah.
She's got her own thing. So she slept for half an hour one of her naps, and I almost punched her through the wall, dude. Like
you can beg all you want. It's not going to help.
But you're tired. You're sleeping. And then you wake up, and suddenly I'm the funniest thing you've ever seen. It's just, it's had a bad day. I'm not feeling it. Not feeling it today, but that's all right. It's fine.
It's a whole new world.
It's a whole new world. All right. We're going to take a break here, folks. And when we come back, we're going to speak into four generals from Renton, Washington. Ross and Mary will be on the line. We're going to be tasting some lagers, talking about lagers. It's going to be a good time. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Brewcasters. Brewing Network.
Yeah. First Amendment.
Watch out!
Do you like beer? They make beer.
Watch out!
Do you like friends and fun? They make friends and fun.
Watch out!
Do you still like to have a good time? The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
The 21st Amendment in San Francisco, located at 563 2nd Street, two blocks from the building where baseball is seen and played. Try their beers in the pub or try them in the can. Featuring
Monk's Blood.
Made with real monk.
Watch out!
So why not have the best time of your life? Go to the 21A and Sean O'Sullivan will personally greet you with a can of
Monk's Blood. The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
This advertisement is not in any way affiliated nor associated with the 21st Amendment Bar and Pub, nor its subsidiaries or affiliates. This telecast is not copywritten by the 21st Amendment for the private use of the Brewing Network. Any use of this telecast without Jamil Zainashev's consent is prohibited. Suck it, JP.
Do you know the three most important rules in brewing? Sanitation, sanitation, and sanitation. And no one does it better than Five Star Chemicals. Five Star knows sanitation. You can only sanitize clean equipment. And Five Star knows how to clean, too. For craft brewers and home brewers, Five Star has what you need to keep your fermenters, serving tanks, kegs, and draft lines sparkling and free of any beer-spoiling bacteria. PBW, caustic, acid cleaners, Star Sand, Santa Clean, lubricants and defoamers, pH stabilizers, and more. Five Star Chemicals has cleaning supplies, safety supplies, heat exchangers, pumps, hoses, and valves. And Five Star is proud to offer eco-friendly products that exceed customer expectations. If you have a cleaning problem, you need the five-star solution. Visit fivestarchemicals.com or call 800-782-7019. 800-782-7019 and get the five-star treatment today.
Tuned into this session.
Because life's too short to listen to crappy radio.
All right, thanks for hanging on, everybody. Before we get to our guests, I do want to tell you guys about Grog Tags. They are your one-stop homebrew customization shop. They have it all from reusable beer and wine labels to durable metal signs, high-quality coasters, and everything on the site is customizable. So get creative over on grogtag.com with one of our hundreds of templates, and we'll print on high-quality materials and ship it out to you. It's easy. Check out grogtag.com today and use code BNARMY to save 10% on your next order. That's grogtag.com, code BNARMY to save 10%. And obviously when I say, you know, we and us and ours, it's not the Brewing Network.
Right.
It's the folks at Grog Tag. Mm-hmm. All right, we should have Ross and Mary on the line. Are you guys there? Hello. I think we don't have them on the line, Bev.
There's silence.
Would you mind giving them a call and tracking that down, please? Thank you. And it says, like, the Skype account is Mike, but we're not talking to a Mike, right? Just Ross and Mary. Okay, that's cool. Oh, we got an incoming call. Let's see if we got that. Brewing Network, hello.
Hello.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Fantastic. Yourself?
Oh, not too bad, not too bad. It's good to see you guys. We don't have a camera on, but if you wouldn't mind, if you kill your video, then I think we'll get ensure a better connection on the voice. Is that cool?
Does that work?
Perfect.
Beautiful.
I love it. All right. Whew. We got you. I'm excited, man. How you guys doing? I appreciate you taking time out of your lives and your day, which I'm sure is very busy running a brewery, to come and talk with us. Thank you very much.
A little bit. Well, we're doing pretty good. It's hot up here.
Yeah. what temperature is it up there?
It's in the 90s.
Oh, geez. Wow. You're having California weather.
Yeah, and we have no air conditioning, so yeah,
oh.
It's fine. Well, we got air conditioning here in the brewery, but it's not great. So
it did look like in that video that you were standing next to a fan. Are you guys like in the walk-in and trying to cool down?
Right in front of it.
Right in front of it. Wishing we were in the walk-in.
Oh man, maybe you got the inventory hops, everybody. We'll be back in 4 hours. It'll be okay, fine.
Yep.
Yeah, I used to work for a homebrew shop for more beer, and that was the best job during inventory because we would inventory in the summer, and it's like, I'm going to count hops, I'm going to put yeast away, and you're there for an hour, and you're like, oh, this feels good. This is good time.
I'm going to count kegs.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to count. Mary, we have 4 kegs, and you know that. I know, but I need to make sure that they're...
But still, I have to make sure it's the right keg.
Perfect. So let me get a couple things out of the way. Four Generals is the name of the brewery. How long have you guys been operating? How long have you guys been making beers?
We've been open for just over 2 years, 2 years and a couple days. We've been a company since 2013, but as I'm sure you guys know, it takes a long time to get something like this off the ground.
Right, right.
So we signed our lease in September 2015, and then we were hoping to be open in 2015, and we're like, yeah, we're just going to happen. And it turns out July 22nd, 2016 is when we actually opened the doors to the public.
Oh, so about 3 years, though? 2.5, 3 years?
Just over two.
Just over two.
Just over two open to the public.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. That's not terrible. I mean, I've heard a lot worse. So I think you might be lucky at that.
We got kind of lucky. We started calling TTB and finally got our approvals, and the city we're in was fun to work with, but we made it through.
Were they actually like pretty supportive? Because that would also be very rare.
They were supportive, but had no idea on how to be supportive.
Did you say working with the state was the easiest government entity that we dealt with?
Really?
Yes, and the state was amazing.
Okay, well, that's good. I mean, you guys have a fair amount of breweries up there already, so I feel like the state should kind of know, because we've run into that a lot, Tasty, where local municipalities and whatnot they have no idea about...
Yeah, their first time out, they have no idea what they need to control or how are they different than a restaurant. They try to fit them into some wrong, the wrong hole, you know?
Yeah, is that...
Exactly what we ran into. They tried to make me put a grease trap in my where's the grease, guys?
It's a grease trap. Did you have to do it, or were you at least able to talk them out of that weird stuff?
I ended up going over the head of the inspector and getting that changed. We did end up having to do a 2-hour burn room for our all-electric brewery.
What's a burn room?
It's 2 layers of Type X 5/8 sheetrock with a specific nailing pattern, and then the lid's got an air gap between the 2 layers. And any windows are 2-hour fire rated, and the doors are 1.5-hour fire rated.
Wow.
Oh, so if you had a fire in that room, it would burn for 1.5 hours without
escaping
the wall?
The room for our electric system.
And so the grease trap, someone actually, you were like, okay, that sounds stupid, but the burn room, they're like, nope, it makes total sense.
Exactly. It's like, okay, guys, if that's what it takes.
Yeah, you were just happy at that point to find a way out, I imagine.
Pretty much.
So, Ross, now you are the brewer there. How did you get started in commercial brewing, or were you a home brewer beforehand? What's your experience like?
So my buddies and I were sitting around, and I'm using air quotes here, when I was 21, having some beers.
Of course, yes.
And we were like, hey, we can do this better. And actually, thinking back about it, I think by the time I actually started brewing, I was actually 21. But the story had started before then. So we made some really bad beers in the beginning. We had a kit that another friend had, and we brewed it up, and we thought it was great, and it got us drunk. But that was about it. And then I kept getting more and more interested in it, and I started taking some classes. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Larry's Brewing Supply, but they were around for 25 years or so up here.
Oh, wow. No, never heard of them.
Yeah, so they had a bunch of classes they offered. They also provided most of the smaller breweries around here with grain when they were open. They're not anymore. So I took some of the classes, and I met people, and I joined my homebrew club and started building my system better. Went from extract to all grain pretty quickly. Was doing brew in a bag for a little while. Got bored of that. Said, you know, I really want to have control of all this. So ended up finding a pretty good deal on a 3-vessel Kegel system.
Mm-hmm.
And then turning it into a 3-vessel Kegel with herms and plate chiller and pumps and all the stuff that basically I have now. I tried to emulate what I was going for here.
Yeah.
So I brewed on that for a few years. Ended up with conical fermenters and temperature control and all the stuff you'd expect to have.
It sounds like you kind of you hit those layers or the levels, right, Tasty, of when you're homebrewing. You start with a couple pieces of equipment, and then somehow that next maneuver is everything. It's the pumps and all the kind of stuff.
Pretty soon
right?
You realize where you're going. You know, like I might as well just go down. Why does nickel dime this thing? Let's just go right for it.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and it got to the point where it's like, okay, I'm going to save my money for some brewing equipment and some top ramen and make more top ramen because I want that piece of shiny brewing equipment.
Exactly. You just budget for the what's important.
Yeah, and you know, in homebrewing, and I wonder if commercial brewing is the same way, where you can buy really expensive stuff to help you do whatever it is, a transfer, whatever it is, but you can also cobble something together that will sort of work, but it won't work as well. And you kind of do you have to convince yourself that hey, this more expensive piece of equipment, like a conical, for example, in homebrewing, that'll help me make better beer. You know, it does, but you can also make really good beer in a carboy. Is there something like that on the commercial side where you could take that sort of I'm growing up my homebrew equipment experience and kind of, you know,
so
parallel
it's funny
it with
that up.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Your timing's impeccable.
Yep. Okay, good.
I've been a mechanic my entire working life until we actually got the brewery up and running. And I've got my degree in automotive restoration. I specialize in 67 through 78 Mopar muscle cars, Dodge, Plymouth, Chrysler.
Oh, wow.
And that's what I did. That's what I had a degree in. So here on the commercial level, I was sitting around talking with the head plant guy for Georgetown Brewing because he's a friend of mine. And he said, oh, you need a glycol system. Don't go spend $15,000, $16,000. I got the perfect unit for you. How many tanks? You know, blah, blah, blah. How many barrels? And I told him. He said, oh, yeah, my system I got for you work great. Come down and just pick it up out of my garage.
Huh.
So I go down, and it's an old Copeland scroll compressor, air conditioning unit, and then he had a heat exchanger. And so we got the whole thing put together. It's an R22 system. It works pretty good until last week when it got really hot up here, or 2 weeks ago, I guess. And the thermal coupler inside of the compressor decided to start over pulling amps. So I ended up sitting on my butt for probably 2 weeks trying to figure this out. I'm not an HVAC technician. I know way more about it now than I ever have. And it ended up being a $5 part, but he did save us, $15,000 because of being able to put this system together that was off-the-shelf parts, but not designed as a glycol system.
That's the home brewer's ingenuity, man. Yeah. It's not designed for this, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
Like exactly. It works pretty well. I've got a 5.5 horsepower compressor for 54 barrels of cold side, and so I can do what I need to do now.
There you go. There you go. Is it something you're looking forward to in the future to get an actual glycol system, or is this going to work for you and you can kind of part it out to do what you want it to do?
Going forward, we're not going to be able to use this one because we're actually looking at a 20-barrel brew house now.
Oh, geez.
But Terry, the same guy, said, well, I've got Georgetown's old unit that's another one of these special ones. So I'm trying to convince my partners at some point that we should go and buy a normal built one, which means we'll probably end up with one from Georgetown.
Nice. Okay, I was going to say, it was hard to hear because it sounded like the compressor came on.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No, that's all right.
I'll be off here in just a second.
Cool. Yeah, if we can kill that, that'd be cool. That'll help out. Yeah, it's I don't know, I guess refreshing or interesting, I guess, Tasty, I don't know, to hear that kind of stuff still happens on the commercial side.
Well, when you're first starting out, you don't have the $15,000, or you got a better place to put it. I mean, you may have it. It may be in the budget, but you go like, well, if we can get this for free, then yeah, it's probably a good move.
Got another custom built 7-barrel tank for us because I took a tape measure after being open for a year and I said, I got this much space. I need more tanks. Yeah. And we have 4 10-barrel uni tanks. And I said, well, what can we do? And the manufacturer said, we can do 2 7s for you. They're tall and skinny, so they act a little bit different during fermentation, but it's been a lifesaver.
Oh, yeah. How much different do you think?
The biggest thing I notice is when I'm clearing the beer. Mm-hmm. I typically only use those ones for ales because they're tall and skinny, and as I'm sure you guys know, with lager beer, short and fat is better.
Yeah.
So it just they clear a little bit slower than the other tanks do, and I haven't really noticed much difference when I do primary fermentation in them versus a 10-barrel batch of something. They taste pretty much the same. But I've always felt like there's just something different. So as long as I don't really use them for 7-barrel batches, it's great.
Yeah, well, I mean, okay. So it sounds like the flavor impact is minimal, if anything at all. It's just finishing up the beer. There's a little bit of work or...
Exactly. Just a little bit more time.
That's not too bad. That's a good trade-off for having essentially a second vessel. You got to do a little bit more work on it. That's all right.
Yeah, for having 14 barrels more capacity, it's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And you got all kinds of time, so why not double batch every day, you know?
Yeah, that's it.
Time's free.
And Mary, what about you? What's your do you have any experience in the brewing industry, or is this all new to you as well?
This has been brand new to me. I was a fifth grade teacher teaching math and science.
Oh, nice.
And an old degree in economics. And when Ross decided he wanted to do this, I decided to take a year's leave of absence from teaching and, you know, help a little bit. And when we decided to go full scale, I quit my job and decided to, you know, put everything into this to make it work. So he does everything on the brew side. I do everything else.
So you're really the key.
Oh yeah, more than anybody realizes. Without Mary, this place would not work.
I bet you can make the beer, but if you can't buy the stuff to make the beer or keep the lights on or
if you're not paying your taxes or your bills, you're going to be in trouble.
Oh yeah, and that's been a good learning curve. Trying to not that I haven't paid them, but just all of the taxes involved. Last count, I think there was like 12 or 13 different taxes I have to pay.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Yeah,
somebody's got to do it,
and you got to be on top of it. And
it's 80% business, and you're the 80%. It sounds like
exactly. And then fun things like Washington State. That here in this state, for our type of business, even though we have a tap room, and probably 75% of our beer is sold through the tap room at this point.
Wow.
We have no food. I have pretzels I buy at Costco that I pour into little trays, and I have prepackaged chips, and that's it. We all have to have our food handlers permits. But we don't have to have our mandatory alcohol servers training permits.
Man.
Makes a lot of sense.
Which you do anyway, I assume.
Everybody that works here does.
Really?
Yeah, I've made them all go through the training but not pay to get the card.
Oh, well, I'm just long that know the training. That's all I'd be concerned about.
Yeah.
Well, the card doesn't mean much. It's just, Just know that they know.
Someone got $15-$20 and there you go.
Yeah.
That seems... God, that's weird. But I guess we were saying a little bit ago, they're treating you like a restaurant, and that's all they know.
Yeah, and that's been really specific for Renton. I have a really good friend who owns Flying Lion Brewing in Seattle, and they are the same size as us and the same system almost. And they were about $80,000 to $100,000 less to open, just because Seattle understands what needs to happen, whereas Renton did not.
Right. Are you the first brewery in town?
Yes. Well, technically we were not the first one because there was a home brewery, garage-based one on a 20-gallon system, but they've shut down since we've opened.
And there was a brewery that was here about 14 years ago that shut down about 10 years ago.
Hmm. Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. All right. So pretty much you're the first modern...
Yeah,
if I could say that, if that's a thing, modern brewery. I mean, I don't know.
Temporary.
Everything's kind of reused
there
anyway.
We go.
Yeah. It's, So is there a plan to educate the city council or to get more brewers into the town or to kind of help anybody else so they don't have to blaze a trail like you guys did.
I did just hear of another brewery that's looking to come into the town. I'm not really sure with the space they have because I don't know about in California. But in Washington, everything I understand, you can't open a brewery below residential. You can below commercial. We are actually below another commercial establishment. Hmm. But the space that I saw the signs up on yesterday, this is the first I heard of it, was below residential. So I don't know if it's a guy going to brew out of a different location, just have his tap room there. But we welcome it, you know. If we can get more good beer, that's the other thing. They have to be good. If we get more good beer here, that just means more people are going to come here and enjoy great beer.
Yeah, exactly. When you say below residential, you mean it's like a two-story and the brewery would be at the first and then the house or the apartment would be on the second?
Yeah, except this is like a 5-6-story apartment building, but yeah.
Hmm. That seems kind of cool. I'm going to be honest.
Just get up downstairs for your morning. Oh, yeah. Evening. Yeah.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Let's, why not?
Being below commercial, we ended up having to put a lot more venting in than we ever realized possible. So we had we were in a brick building; it's 14 inches thick. Had to put 10 inch holes in it in order to put our exhaust fans up and out. We just had a condensing cane on our original brew kettle. Well, same brew kettle, but original condensing cane. So instead of venting it out, but that had to change because the people upstairs went, "Whoa, it smells like delicious beer. We can't have that."
Well, it was annoying.
You were getting complaints.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, hey, man, not everyone likes the smell, I guess, but I don't know why. I never understood that. Like, my mom wouldn't. She never really dug it. I was like, "What? How do you not like it? It smells great."
If you know beer and you've been around this smell of mash and grain, you equate the two together and then you make the connection. If you're the person upstairs and you're trying to finish, you eat your salami sandwich and it's tasting weird. Yeah, it's annoying.
Exactly.
You're the old coot in 4B.
Yeah, so you don't feel like you're in control. You feel like somebody's got taken over your air.
Yeah, I guess I could see that. I could see that. So, Ross, why the focus on German beers and lagers? What are you doing? Don't you know that West Coast cloudy IPA and pastry stouts are the thing? What's wrong with you? I'm kidding because I love lager.
The brew is Scottish like I am. And absolutely anal about German beers. And that kind of rubbed off on me. Mm-hmm. When I opened this place, he was here opening day. I mean, we're still really good friends. I just hired him as my as my brewer when we go bigger, as my second brewer. Mm. But he was like, "I'm going to turn you into a German brewery." And I said, "No, you're not." And I opened up with some ales. And we had a sour on tap. That was pretty cool. Mm. A barrel-aged sour. And it was all well and great. And then I started really going in my mind going, what is good beer? What's going to continue selling? And then because Mom's in Pink Boots here, we got an invitation to sign up for the Pink Boots Bavaria Beer Brats and Beyond Tour. And
which for any Pink Booters out there, sign up. I think you have one more day to go for the scholarship and it is an incredible experience.
What is that? Can you tell me a little bit about that?
It is a trip sponsored by Pink Boots, which is the International Society of Women Brewers and Women in Beer. And we had a small group. There were 13 of us last year, 11 women, and my two other owners, Ross and my husband, Mike. And we went to Germany, and we had 10 days in, 13 breweries. We went to a hop farm. We went to Weyermann Malting, of a parade in the town of Spalt to deliver the new fresh hop beer.
Oh, wow.
But these weren't just visiting breweries. These were actually tours by the owners and the ladies who worked there. Hmm. And as we found out, you don't have to be Pink Boots members because Pop and I were able to go. but yeah, it was an in-depth, beautiful tour, and it really cemented my love for German beers. So we said, let's really turn our focus to German beers while staying relevant and continuing to make the beers that make us money at this time so we can stay open.
So we've got a nice hazy IPA and we've got a good West Coast IPA and we've got a bunch of other styles too that, spread the wealth.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was kidding because I love German lagers. I love lagers in general, German or otherwise, I suppose. And I wish just everyone made them. But I understand that you do have to make money. And it's been a lesson for me to learn. It's been a hard lesson because, if I had my way, I would have all the beers that I like to drink. And then everyone would be out of business. And then we'd all just be back to drinking Coors Banquet, which is a fine beer.
And we can turn a batch of the hazy in like 8 days, whereas the lager is 2 to 3 months.
Really? Does that depress you at all as lovers of German beers?
Anticipation and then the trying it throughout the process. I'm getting like more and more excited about it.
It would bum me out. Yeah, it would bum me out, honestly, a little bit that people don't. Do you have any sort of, I don't know, action plan or education to educate the people about lagers and about the lagers that you brew, or is it kind of like, well, look, everyone knows what a lager is and they're going to go for this and maybe we'll get them on the Helles every now and then, but for the most part it's a beer that you like making and other people buy it, and if they don't, they don't.
So we actually just opened Mondays for the summertime, and Mark, who I don't know who met Mark, but Mark's the guy who introduced all of us and got this to happen. He is working Monday nights in a taproom for us, and he's going to start doing a beer education Monday night thing. So his idea will be we're going to get some of those sampling off flavor sample kits.
Oh yeah.
We'll do a flight with, you know, say the Helles, and then we'll dose it with DMS and diacetyl and all those, and it really just start to help educate people on that.
That's great. I think that's cool. I think a lot of people need that because there's a lot of bad beer out there, and it helps if you know what that is. If you know, even like if you like American light lagers, even just to know what a heat damaged American light lager tastes like, you can avoid that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we also, our Helles is called Wells Helles because we're on Wells Avenue.
Yeah.
And for a long time, we just had the name up on the board, the Wells Helles. And about 2 weeks ago, we decided, okay, we need to change this. We need to put descriptions up. And running the tap room, now all of a sudden, I have a whole lot of people saying, I want to order the lager. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten written up there, Wells Helles : Bavarian lager.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a whole lot of people that order the lager or the German red ale instead of the alt beer. You know, dark wheat beer instead of a Weizenbock. So just putting up more descriptive names up on our menu board has really bumped sales of those beers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, any information the consumer can get just enhances their experience a lot. And then when they leave, they're smarter knowing that they're drinking a Hefeweizen versus, you know, a beer that you know, they don't know what the style is.
Exactly.
It sounds like there's much more education about styles and people are keying into that. Is that what I'm hearing? So you put up that the Helles is a lager, and people are hitting on that because they're familiar with it versus the name Helles. Like, oh, I don't know, I'll just do the IPA. But the lager they kind of key into?
Most definitely. Yeah. When we did the same thing with the Pilsner, it was a big jump in sales. We were like, oh, wait, I've heard that word. I know what a Pilsner is. It's a lager.
Well, I appreciate that, honestly, because, you know, there's nothing more frustrated than going into a bar or a brewery and not seeing any styles at all. And, you know, I'm possibly overeducated. I know too much for my own good, and it makes me miserable. You know, going into a thing, I'm like, okay, here's a cool name, but I don't know what that is. I can kind of guess maybe by the alcohol percentage, but for the most part, for the uninitiated who are, you know, just coming in for a casual beer, the more they know about the style they're drinking, I think the better overall we're going to be as a industry.
Yeah, most definitely. And I've noticed a lot of bars, too, are getting the new digital TV screens.
Yeah.
And people are able to look on their phone. And I see people looking on their phone and going, oh, that's a whatever. And we don't have that here because we don't rotate through beers very often.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really the style we're going for the look of a tap room. But that's pretty cool. It helps educate a little bit more. It helps them kind of understand what they're about to order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, you know, I think there's something to be said for the face-to-face education rather than the digital. Digital's cool, but, you know, I kind of want to talk to someone about it. And I feel like if you're going to the tap room, you're a talking kind of person. But it sounds like you have that kind of vibe going anyways there.
It's pretty amazing because I love, you know, I work the tap room 3 days a week, and I love the people that come in that don't know much about beer, and to be able to talk with them and explore and figure out what they like and say, okay, I want to give, you know, have you try a few things and tell me what you think and where you're going, and be able to talk and explain what things are is fantastic. And I've had so many people later, it's like, oh my gosh, this was so great. Thank you for taking the time. And yet that's what really brings me joy. Is, you know, I was a teacher, so it really helps, and it makes my day go a lot more quickly if I can talk with people and have a good time, and to educate someone is really a plus.
Everybody wins. They win, you win.
Exactly.
Right.
That's great.
Well, it's great you're doing the Monday night training. I'm a little, when you say you're going to be teaching the off flavors, you know, I'm just a little bit of warning there. That's a two-edged sword. I mean, sometimes if you learn the off flavors and can detect them, your drinking experience is not going to be as good as it was before. You're going to go into a place and go like, oh, this is that corn thing. I see.
You mean like what you and I and everyone here experiences?
Yeah. So off flavors, to me, training is more for people who make beer and troubleshoot beer. Not so, the average consumer is probably better off learning about styles and the descriptors for tasting beer. Like, what does that descriptor mean, or when do you use it? That is Mike. I think you said Mike's name. He could be better off just doing like a flight of six different Hefeweizens and have people just share their thoughts on what they're tasting. Have him, you know, quantify those into the normal tasting terms for those beers.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion.
I mean, you could do both, honestly.
You could do both. You could do one off flavor, And then you can go in and do like a flight of some, a beer tasting.
Yeah.
Sure.
How big is Renton? What kind of population you guys got out there?
Who?
That's a good question.
I have no idea. Maybe, what's 80, 100,000, maybe?
Okay. So you're pretty big. I mean,
we're basically 20 minutes from Seattle, downtown Seattle, if there's no traffic. I mean, you know, right now it's probably 2 hours.
Right.
But, you know, 10 miles or so.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
It says we're just over 100,000.
Okay, that's bigger than Concord, I think.
Yes, mm-hmm. much, yes. But half the size of Twin Peaks.
I think...
I'm just kidding.
I think Contra Costa. I think our county here has 100,000 people in just the county.
Oh no, this is a big county. It's got more than that.
Are you sure?
Oh yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Well, I'm stupid.
It's one of
I guess
the biggest counties in the Bay Area.
Yeah,
that's huge.
Okay.
Geography.
Well, yeah. And to only have one brewery, I think that's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
We've got others right around us, the next town over. We've got, you know, one in Tukwila and one down in Kent, the next town in Newcastle. So all of the towns surrounding us each have at least one. And literally, I can pop over the hill and within, again, no traffic, 10 minutes, I'm in a place called Georgetown that has 7, 8, 9
Jeez.
Breweries. And, you know, Seattle, I have no idea how many there is right now at this point. But
probably 180.
Yeah, we're in the land of a whole lot of breweries right around here.
That's true.
Well, good. I mean, there'll be beer drinkers, and that's what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you want to pull them. You want to pull them into your spot too, for sure.
Checking out those lagers.
Yeah. Okay, I'll tell you what. If you guys can hang on for, I don't know, probably 5-10 minutes, we're going to take a break, and we're going to get your beers in front of us, and we'll run through those, and we can kind of talk about some of this stuff. That's all right with you guys.
Let me go fill up mine while we're taking the break, so I have something to enjoy as well.
Exactly.
Awesome. Yeah, that would be most beneficial. All right. Ross and Mary, thank you very much for hanging on. We'll be back with you guys, like I said, in about 5 or 10 minutes from Four Generals Brewing Company in Washington, or as Stacey would say, Washington. Hang on. We'll be right back. That's the session.
You're listening to the Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Your support of the Brewing Network means everything to us. We couldn't produce shows without you. And we love giving you something extra for that support, like Brew Your Own magazine. You already know it's a great brewing magazine full of recipes, equipment how-tos, discussions of beer styles, and brewing techniques. Whether you're new to brewing and just starting out or you're an old pro, you'll always learn something from the articles in Brew Your Own. Plus, they're amazing special issues like plans for building a Brutus 10 system, 250 classic clone recipes, and the Home Brewer's Answer Book. Brew Your Own magazine and BYO.com are awesome resources for any brewer, whether for yourself or as a gift. When you subscribe or resubscribe from the Brewing Network homepage, you directly support programs like this. Get a great magazine and support the Brewing Network. Subscribe to Brew Your Own right from thebrewingnetwork.com.
Are you looking for a simple brewing system that's great for all grain brewing, but everything on the market seems to be full of compromises? Blickman Engineering has the answer. The Blickman Brew Easy All Grain Brewing System. The Brew Easy is a complete system with easy upgrades and a beautiful compact design, perfect for any size brewing location. At its core, the Brew Easy is built on two gorgeous Blickman Boilermaker brew kettles, a high temperature March pump, and either a top tier gas burner or the new boil coil electric heater. The Brew Easy adapter lid allows the pots to stack on top of each other, forming an efficient, strong, and compact brewing setup that comes in 5, 10, and 20-gallon batch sizes. Upgrade your BrewEasy system with full automated control by adding a Blickman Tower of Power temp controller and make moving around easy with the Blickman Kettle Cart. The BrewEasy is modular. If you already own a Boilermaker kettle, you can build your BrewEasy by purchasing just the modules you need. The new BrewEasy all-grain brewing system. See it today at BlickmanEngineering.com and brew with Blickman quality on your new BrewEasy. Easy.
Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and freshest ingredients and the best customer service in the business. Check out their brand new patent-pending mash and boil 110-volt electric mashing and boiling unit. This compact all-stainless unit lets you mash, sparge, and boil just about anywhere that has a 110-volt plug. Double wall construction adds to efficiency and safety, and a precise thermostat keeps temperatures where you want them. Unlike insulated buckets and converted coolers, multiple temperatures temperature rest mashing is easy to do, all for under $300. They also feature the Mark II work pump, a magnetic drive high temperature pump that does the work of pumps that cost twice as much, as well as exclusive Brewer's Edge regulators and quality Keg King kegs and disconnects. Check them out today at williamsbrewing.com to brew their vast selection.
Hey, my brewing brothers and sisters. This is Jamel Zainashev, and I want to tell you about Heretic Evil Twin. You might be familiar with my homebrew recipe, which uses massive late hopping to create a balance between the malty sweet and the hoppy bitter, along with an outrageous malt and hop character. I wanted a beer with the same bold hop and malt character, so we played around with the homebrew recipe until we were able to make a great commercial version too. We've created a beer rich in malt character, full of caramel, toast, biscuit, and an ever-so-subtle roast note. On top of that, we piled in an insane amount of Citra and Columbus hops at the end of the boil, as well as in dry hopping. This damn-the-cost approach to hopping gives Heretic's Evil Twin a great blast of citrus and tropical fruit that can't be matched by any other hop. The result is a bold, malty, hoppy, but easy-drinking beer. This is our top seller, our flagship beer, and I couldn't be prouder of it. Cheers.
Find Heretic Beers near you. Click on Find Some at HereticBrewing.com.
This is Corey King from Side Project Brewing, and you're listening to The Session on the Brewing Network.
Thanks for hanging out, everybody. Before we get to our guests and our beer, we have a couple glasses of beer here poured right in front of us. I do want to tell you guys about branding brews. You sweat and toil over creating exceptional beer. The Craft Brew Creative will assure that your branding reflects that outstanding craft. They take the tefferter. I knew every fucking show. I stumble on one live brew. I don't know why I do it, but I guess I'm unprofessional. They take the time to understand your vision through a straightforward and results-driven process. The result is something that tangible that will make you proud of your brewery brand and feel confident in your market. Logo design, branding strategy, websites, labels, and tap handles are just a few services Craft Brew Creative excels in. Because of Craft Brew Creative's great relationship with the Brewing Network, they offer 15% off of your first design or branding project, good for up to a $300 savings. So go to craftbrewcreative.com for details. Mention the Brewing Network. Save 15% of your first design.
Sounds great.
God, I need elocution lessons or something like that, dude. I don't know what the hell's going on. I'm tired. I'm just tired all the time.
So, talking to yourself all day.
Yeah, I guess, man. Ross, Mary, you guys still there?
We're here.
All right, awesome. Do you guys have any kids? Y'all parents?
Well, Ross.
Ross, you have kids?
My kid. I have another daughter.
Oh, man. Why? Yeah. How many?
Puppy dog, so.
Yeah, kids are a pain in the ass, man. I don't know why people keep doing it.
Yeah, they certainly are. You know, pretty soon you end up with a bird.
Yeah, right. Okay, so we have a couple beers in front of us now. We have the Helles and the Mexican Lager, and then I feel like at that point you guys can just guide us through the rest of the tasting. Thank you very much. You sent a lot of beers. What, you sent 6 beers, I think, or something? And
yeah, Mark's idea is like, we got to send 6. We got to do 6. I'm like, sure, let's do it.
Well, and I appreciate the wide, portfolio, I suppose, you sent. I went over in the beginning, but there's a Helles Mexican Dark Lager, Weizenbach, English Bitter, which I'm really excited for, a Milk Stout, and then a Hazy IPA. So we don't often get that much diversity on this show, right, Tasty?
Well, that's what they're shooting for there at the tap room is, you know, to get people come in, they'll get choose amongst a good selection of the different styles.
God, and I love that, too. Yeah. I mean,
well, you're a small brewery. You can do that. If they were like, you know, when they get going to 20 barrels, they're going to have to make maybe wouldn't have the option of making a lot more, might have to go less variety because of the big batch size.
Yeah, I do want to get to that at some point, the expansion and what you guys are planning to do. But take us through this Helles, please.
So the Helles is a representation of what I enjoyed in Germany on our trip. I came back and I looked at my buddy Nick, who's the guy who taught me how to brew, and I said, Nick, we have to make a proper Helles.
Yeah.
It's 100% German ingredients. We use Best malts. We're really happy with their Pilsen malt and Munich malts and whatnot.
Okay.
It's all German-grown hops, and we use hops that I didn't really know much about before I went on my trip, but are very modern, Hercules and middle fruit, uh-huh. I believe.
Okay.
But we just want a really nice representation of what a Helles was, and we think we've got that there.
I think it's terrible and tasty. You should give me your glass just so you don't have to drink it.
It's really good.
Damn it. Yeah,
Bev, you can't have any either. Just give me the little glass.
I'm going to have to finish that off.
That's actually what Ross is drinking right now, too.
It's really good.
Well, that's what the brewers drink all day, is beers that they can drink all day.
Right. Yeah, there's a reason these styles are popular in Germany.
Because brewers, you know, that's what they want to drink.
How long did... Actually, you know what? I have a different question, possibly a better question, maybe a worse question than what I was going to ask. How do you determine what brand of malts to use? Is it something that harkens back to your home brewing days, or did you make a batch of this beer with a different kind of base malt and thought, it doesn't really taste right?
So we are really fortunate that Nick still has a one-barrel system at his house.
Oh, geez.
So we test batch everything on that. Hmm. And we're working between Nick, Mark, myself. We probably have a combined 25 years of brewing experience. So we've used a lot of different malts. We've played with a lot of different stuff. And as I mentioned before, Nick is a stickler for German stuff. So we knew it was going to be a German-based malt. We didn't know mm-hmm. what one, but we've been using Best a lot because we like the flavor.
Yeah.
So we had Best in mind when we designed it. Now, we did test batch this beer 3 times, I believe, before we actually brewed it.
Okay.
Just to get it dialed in.
And this is a single malt beer, or is it?
No, it's got Chit and Vienna or Munich. I can't remember which off the top of my head in it as well.
There's what? The base malt and then Vienna and Munich, you say?
It's either Vienna or Munich. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Right.
And then Chit malt as well.
Chit malt? What is that?
What would I experience if I had that in my beer? A certain flavor or a certain color? What does it do?
Just a little bit of body and a little bit of breadiness.
Okay, so bodybuilder. Okay.
And breadiness.
And breadiness.
Right. Okay.
This beer has a unique malt care. I'm not that familiar with the best malts.
Really,
so I can't tell whether it's maybe one of the, you know, the
maybe it's that Chit, because I've never,
that or the Vienna or whatever.
I don't know if I've seen or at least had a conversation about a beer with Chit malt in it. It definitely has that sweet kind of Helles thing that you're looking for, but it is dry, and it feels like it maybe dries up a little bit more than other Helles's beer that I've had before, but you still get that lager flavor, that Helles flavor that you know and love. Do you think it finishes a little bit drier, tasty, or is it me?
It's full bodied. But it is dry. You know, it's kind of like
it cleans up.
Sometimes it goes the other way. Full body, that means it's going to be a little bit sweet. No, it's nice and dry, but it does have a lot of body.
Yeah.
And it has a really unique malt flavor, which dialing into and I like.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm driving at, because it's with that flavor, which is a little bready,
nutty,
I think, really.
Yeah, I get the
slightly
toffee,
nutty, like almost like buckwheat. If you've ever eaten toasted buckwheat for some reason. And then with that kind of dryness, crispness at the end, because a lot of Helles's can be kind of sweet and just kind of sit there. Mm-hmm. This does not do that.
No, this brings a lot more to the table.
Even Bev is drinking a lot of it, and she doesn't really drink a whole lot.
I don't really drink on these shows. No, this is my jam. This is great.
Yeah.
I want all of it.
So you can think of the Chit also like Carapil, Carafoam kind of environment. Okay. It's the best malt version.
Hmm. I see.
So we also try to dry our beers out to 10-10, typically, if you're using specific gravity, just to help along with that.
It's easy drinking, that's for damn sure.
Yeah, it's really nice. And what are the unique hops in this? You said you're using only German noble hops or whatever?
Only German-grown Hercules and Howard Tower Blanc.
Hmm. I thought you said middle fruit.
Excuse me, this one.
The middle fruit.
See, Mary's right there, Ross. Watch out.
That's what you buy. That's what you use.
She's got to sign the check every time I purchase German hops.
She's like, now, Ross, I won't sign this check until you pronounce it. Tell me what you're buying.
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, this is a delicious beer. What do you think? What am I trying to say, TC? I don't want to say, like, hey, what are the sales on this beer? I don't want to be that. But how often are people buying it?
It's flown out the door, and we're down to less than a barrel left.
Okay.
You know, it's...
We tapped it in June.
Yeah.
So for a lager beer, our Pilsner sells pretty well, but this has outsold the Pilsner probably 5-1. It does not sell like the IPAs, which that hazy IPA you guys have is our number one selling beer every day, in, day out. And then sometimes West Coast IPA overtakes it. But the Helles is in the top five.
It's really good.
It's delicious. How many beers do you have on at any given time?
About 12. We've got 18 taps, and two of them are always cider that we get from a local cidery.
And we make sparkling water.
Oh, man. Yeah. See, that's what we need here.
We have a reverse osmosis water filter.
Yeah.
So we just take the RO water and throw the CO2 on it, and 2 or 3 days, we've got amazing sparkling water.
I love it.
Yeah, I want to come live there.
Come on up, Beth.
I love cider, and God, I love sparkling water, too, and I love this beer.
I know.
We actually have people that come in and get growlers of the water.
Really?
No, I would be that person. I would absolutely do that.
And Bev, I take it home all the time.
I would too, man. Yeah, that's a good beer. That's that nuttiness, man, in the end. That's delicious. You guys did a good one on that one. Let's hit this Mexican lager real fast, which is called... What is it called? I can't find my notes.
Mexicito.
Rentoncito. All right. What's the deal with the Mexican lager?
So that one, we were really excited with the German brewing traditions when they came to Mexico back in the day, and they brought their Vienna lagers with them. So we said, what can we do as an homage to that? So we went ahead and piloted up in a completely best malt recipe of Vienna lager, and then we called up our local Skagit Valley Malting, which is just north of us by about,
an hour.
Okay.
And we said, hey, guys, we really want to start using your product because you're local. It's all Washington. What can we do in the lines of what the Germans did when they went to Mexico and making that beer? And so we teamed up with them. We got their malt, their Copeland Pilsen malt and their Copeland Vienna malt. And then we also, because traditionally Mexican lagers have adjuncts in them, we called up our friends at Cascade Beer Candy and got some of their candy beer syrup, which is a rice-based... No, it's a candy cane candy stock-based syrup. And we made the Mexican lager with that, with the White Labs Mexican lager yeast.
All right. Let's take a sip of this, Tasty. I'm a sucker for a Mexican lager. Sucker nice. For them.
And you guys are on the forefront because we aren't tapping it until Wednesday here in the tap room.
Yeah, right. So your guys is probably not 100% clear. It's gotten clear in the tank by now. But,
oh no, I think it's pretty. It's pretty clear, man.
Yeah, I wouldn't say so. Yeah, it looks good.
So we got a scoop, Tasty.
Yeah, we're good. We're only one.
This is the first time.
Let's just check it on tap right now. That'll be number one.
Love it.
This is a good beer. That's another really solid.
Yeah, it's really good.
Well built,
well made, clean.
Yeah, and this one finishes about 10-10 also, Ross.
Yes. Yeah, most of our beers do, except for the milk stout, which is a 10-30 to leave a bunch of that sweetness in there.
Yeah.
It's a big beer.
And there's that dryness, just kind of cleaning everything up, because it has some sweetness to the beer, but it doesn't linger. I mean, you know, a little bit, maybe the kind of darker flavors a tad, but that's kind of what you want, I think, in a beer like this.
Exactly.
So how do these Copeland malts compare to the best?
They are a unique flavor. I read an article today in a magazine. They're talking about brewers are just discovering the different flavors of different malts from different places. I'm going, what? Okay, if that's...
Yeah. If hops was the only tool you had, that'd be horrible.
Exactly. So the Skagit Valley, they've got 3 or 4 different Pilsners, or different varieties of malt that they make into Pilsen malt and Vienna malt and all the other stuff. Mm-hmm. The Copeland's kind of their standard, and we've been really happy with what we've been doing with it so far. We are going to start test batching some of the other ones just so we know what they taste like. We started with that one. We were happy with it, so we decided to go forward.
Yeah. Are you going to try to move to more as much local malt and as local product as you can? That seems to be the vibe I'm picking up here.
Local beers, the German beers will stay German malts.
Yeah. Yeah, but for everything else, you're going to push toward the local guys. Local maltsters.
Yeah, you can't replicate the flavor of something that comes from Germany though.
No. People are trying. Yeah. People are trying. But that's that's great. And I think for regional breweries and maltsters, I think that's a good combination. I wonder if we'll see more little family maltsters start popping up to feed the kind of smaller neighborhood breweries in their state or their region
that,
or whatever?
That would be so cool. When we were in Germany, I would ask the brewers sometimes, I go, where do you get your malt? Do you get it from Weyermann? Do you get it from Best? And they're like, what? No, we get it from Hans down the road. Yeah. Who has malts, his malt house has been doing it for 100 years.
Yeah. Wow. Can Hans make money at that? I mean, how at some point, is that sustainable? Or I don't even know.
Well, Hans for two, because they sell their pints over there for a lot cheaper than we do. So it's like, yeah. I don't get it. But they've got 1,200 breweries, I believe, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, it must work out. I don't know the economics or what Hans needs to live on or whatever. Exactly. It must work out. Otherwise, he couldn't do it for 100 years if he's losing money for 99 of those.
Yep. Well, on the other hand, his beer's cheap, so there you go.
Well, that's true. People will just buy a ton of it then.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's a good Mexican lager. I like that in those kind of darker, raisiny notes, almost like raisiny plum.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah, that's the Carafa 3, I've noticed, gives it that nice plum flavor.
Okay.
Our Schwartz beer, which we didn't send any down because we're still piloting, has got quite a few of those plum notes to it, and it just plays really nicely with the lightness of the dark lager.
Yeah, and I think that's what this is as well. It's pretty unique for a dark Mexican lager.
Yeah, it's only within that style, but it's really unique. Yeah.
What's the ABV on this beer?
I believe that one clocks in at 6%, but I'd have to check my notes.
Wow, I would be shocked at that. That does not drink like a 6%.
No, no sign of that alcohol beer at all.
That's why I like to balance things. Even our 7.4 West Coast IPA, people are like, oh, that's a 5%. I'm like, well, drink three of them and tell me it's a 5%.
Yeah, for sure.
So you use the Hallertau hops on this as well, or do you?
Yeah, that one's got the Blanc in it instead of the Middle Fru, which is why I always get them mixed up, because we use a lot of we use all three of the Blancs.
I see. Or the Hallertaus.
Yeah, so, and then it also uses Hercules to bitter.
Okay.
We use Magnum and a lot of stuff, but that Hercules, after the Germany trip, I was like, that's really cool. I like it. I like the little bit more fruitiness it has versus the Magnum.
Oh, wow. It carries over all the way through, huh? Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
How often are you pilot batching recipes? Are you finding you have to do that for a little bit longer than, say, maybe on a different system or with different ingredients, because it seems like you're using some, at least in these two beers, kind of some unique ingredients that for me would take me a few times, probably more than a few times, to make these recipes, to dial them in so they taste like the style and they taste like what I want, but still kind of reflecting the unique ingredient.
So the really cool thing about Nick is his system is exactly one third of the size of mine. It's made by the same manufacturer. It has the same characteristics. So when he and I get together, we will start the process off. I'll go, hey Nick, I want to do this, or he'll be like, hey Ross, I want to do this, or even Mark too, because he helps us with development. Two of those beers are ones that Mark did that you guys have today. So we'll get together and we'll kind of talk about it. We'll all go do our research, and then we'll all put recipes together, and then we email it to each other, and we all kind of look at it, we edit it, we make changes, and we usually end up brewing 2 to 3 batches on Nick's system typically, and then we go, okay, we like this, we like that, boom, boom, boom. On the Helles, we did 2 batches, and then we kind of merged the 2 together to make the final production version. Mm-hmm. But it's usually within 2, maybe 3 at the most, that we have an idea of what we're getting into.
And I think you're making the point that it scales up pretty well because it is a very, very similar system. So
it's very similar. Nick's got 5 barrels of jacketed glycol in his garage.
Oh, really?
Jeez.
A little off the charts there.
There's some commercial breweries around here.
I see.
So he's a nutcase, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, I think we all are.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
You're in the beer business.
Yeah. That's beer is this next, Bev? This third one here.
That is the Weizenbach.
The Weizenbach?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the Weizenbach, we brewed in collaboration with Flying Lion. It was actually brewed on their system, but Flying Lion really helped us out a lot when we were getting started. They started, what, a year and a half before we did?
About a year and a half before us.
And they sat down and they took time to talk to us, and Griffin and Nick and Adam are wonderful people. And we said, we really want to do a collaboration with you guys. And they said, okay, well, here's like 5 different beers we've been thinking about. I said, well, we're a German brewery. Let's do a German beer. They said, okay, well, they sent me a recipe, and it had all, Great Western ingredients. And I sent them a recipe that was all German ingredients. We got down, we sat down and had a few beers, and we said, okay, if we're going to do a German beer, let's do German ingredients. So we brewed it over at their place. I brought the yeast over. I'd used the yeast from the Hefeweizen. Brought it over, and we had a great day hanging out, just having a blast together. We brewed some great beer, and then we ended up taking a bronze medal in Washington State Beer Awards for collaborations.
Oh,
there's a category. That's cool. Wow.
That's pretty
awesome. Yeah, it's a new category this year. It was still judged as a Weizenbock, though.
True.
Yeah. And then they went ahead and did it as that.
Well, the aroma on this is amazing.
Yeah, it's really nice.
You know, and when I first smelled it, I thought, oh, that's a lot of clove. And then I just smelled it again. That's a lot of banana.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I like about that Vine Stefan yeast. It really brings out the phenols.
Yeah, but it's not one thing or another. And they're balanced really well. Yeah, and then I smelled it again, and it smells like both of them now. So I can't get a bead on it. And I really
balanced.
Appreciate that.
And you have
yeah.
to kind of look for the one you want.
Yes.
Which is great. It's which I like in any beer that has, you know, flavors. Even a spice beer. It's overspiced when you don't have to look for it.
It's like a choose-your-own-adventure beer.
Yeah.
Just whatever you want it to be.
So what's the fermentation profile of this beer? I got the feeling you're doing... something different on temperatures. Does this go into the tall tank for its primary fermentation?
So this one was brewed, since it was brewed over there, is in one of their standard 10 barrels, which is very much like mine. We just did a little bit warmer. So I believe we did primary fermentation at 74, and then we finished it out at 76 to get it down to a 10-10.
Okay.
And that really brings out those phenols. When you do it, what they recommend, I believe it's 66 through 71, I think, or something like that, mm-hmm. from White Yeast. Mm-hmm. I just find it doesn't give you the banana and clove, and it's just kind of muted. When you bring it up a little bit more, you get that. If you bring it up more than that, you get a lot of bubble gum out of it, which is what I found in Germany when I was there in October, is a lot of them had the bubble gum. Mm-hmm. So I did that for the last batch of Hefeweizen. I submitted it to Washington Beer Awards, and they went, no, that's bad. There's diacetyl. I'm going, that's not diacetyl, guys. That's phenols. But, okay, point taken. I will.
Yeah. It tasted something they didn't like.
Yeah. Well, and it's BJCP guidelines on that beer are a little outdated, in my opinion, for what they're brewing today in Germany.
Oh.
Well, you got the banana clove, and you don't have too much of it. So no. I really like to balance it.
Well, when I mean when you bring the bubble gum into it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
yeah. But again, yeah. I'm not used.
Yeah, even the dog agrees. I mean, that's you know, when your dog can figure out what BJCP guidelines are supposed to say, then that's pretty much.
That's a good dog.
What do you think? Yeah, I mean, bubblegum, I don't know. Do you get?
No, I don't get that in the spear at all.
No, I don't think so.
I've had beers where I did get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that one was done a little bit cooler, so you shouldn't be getting it in there.
Yeah. That's a delicious beer. What's the ABV on this one?
7.1 or 7.2.
Yeah. Man, and going against that Mexican lager, which is 6 or whatever, like to me, I would guess this is like 8 or 9. I don't know, because of the body and a little bit more warmth, but it's still relatively dry. I mean, I don't know. These are
came back down to a 10-10, and that's kind of our magic number around here.
Yeah, that sounds like
that's where
it.
They want to finish it.
Yeah, we've taken them lower and just not been as happy. We've done them higher, and I go within 0.2, so maybe it's a 10-12, but that gives me the results I'm looking for.
Excellent.
What's going on, Biff?
There's styrofoam inside.
Oh, okay. All right. Biff pouring our next three beers here. What's this one? This is the bitter? All right. Talk to me about this bitter, Ross. I'm a sucker for Mexican lager, and I'm a sucker for English bitters.
So this is 2017 Washington Beer Awards gold medal.
Oh,
This is when I was a mechanic, I was exhausted one day. I went down and I picked up grains and I bought the wrong stuff without realizing it.
Yeah.
Next day I woke up and I pulled out my system, my 15 gallon system, and I made beer, and it wasn't the color I was going for because I was trying to do a Scottish red.
Okay.
And I went, well, I'm going to ferment it because I went through the process anyway, but let's see what happens. And I did. And I went, oh, that's really good. And I looked back about what I bought, and I went, okay, that's an English bitter. And we've been making it better ever since. This one's actually lower carbonation. I did 1.8 volumes of CO2 to try to get a little bit more traditional. Still high for tradition, but I'm really happy with that. That's Maris Otter, so British-grown malt, and then we use British-grown hops in it as well.
Tasty, what do you think?
I think I like it. Now, you say you use RO water in the brewery?
Yeah, we use RO water for everything, and I can dial it in to parts per million if I want to, or I can go to zero and then build the water however I want to.
So on, like, say, the Hellas, you would use a different water profile than you would on this ESP, I assume, right? Like,
A little bit, I've found that the 25 parts per million is pretty darn good. Now, we are actually starting to look into changing the water for stuff like Pilsner that needs a little bit different profile.
Now, you 25 ppm, you're talking about calcium or chloride?
That's just going to be everything.
Just a TDS. Oh, I see. Yeah. I got you. So what do you like? Do you use like a calcium chloride and like on a beer like this that would you want to have a little bit more malt character in the background?
No, that's all just that 25 TDS.
I see. Right? You're just getting it back to some reasonable water.
Just put a little something in there.
Yeah.
Yep.
But not too much. Okay.
Yeah.
I like that beer. Do you guys ever put it on a cask at all?
I'd like to. I just don't have the room to do a cask system.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we're working with 1,450 square feet here, and we've got 54 barrels of cold side. And
you have no space. You're probably in a fermenter right now.
I could be.
Just about.
Well, so, I mean, that brings me up to the expansion plans. You're moving up to a 20-barrel system, you said. Where is that going to go? Are you going to build your existing space out or just kind of no more break room?
Well, we're looking at a warehouse type location in the local area. This is going to remain a big tap room, so we'll take the brewing equipment out of here and make the bar larger.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we'll just move brewing offsite to somewhere that's cheaper rent and warehouse type. And a loading dock. That would be really nice.
Oh, geez. Wow. All the comforts of a real brewery.
Exactly.
It's always fun on grain day to make sure that, you know, it's not raining when we've got to unload it all. Seattle, remember?
Right. How often has that worked out for you?
So now they just drop off your pallet in the parking lot and you have to do the rest. Is that it?
It's worked out every single time. It has not rained on us. I bring a 10x10 pop-up just in case it does,
but
it has to get to.
Smart. Okay, we have two beers left, the Milk Stout and the New England IPA. Which should we have next after this English bitter?
I'd go for the Milk Stout, kind of keep that British tradition going.
Let's do it.
So the Milk Stout is 2018 Washington Beer Awards Gold Medal.
Ooh, man. That aroma. You know, coffee kind of note in there.
Yeah, it definitely has a coffee aroma.
That dark grain aroma, but it's not that ashy.
Yep.
It feels like... It smells like it's on the hairy edge, right, where it's like, if any more, and you would smell the acridity and the acrid malt, but it's not. It's that lovely roasted malt right before. It's like peak flavor impact on the nose here. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's a hard balance to achieve, but...
I honestly can't take most of the credit for this one because Mark Craig, the guy you guys met, he's been working on this recipe for about 10 years. I have brewed more of it by volume than he has.
I guess that makes you have more ownership or whatever.
So he's been, what does he do, like tweak out the recipe every now and then and kind of just make little tiny massages to it?
From what I understand, he ended up going back to his original recipe or very close to it after playing with it for years, and that was what we brewed here.
Okay.
It's well constructed.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy that. In my opinion, a lot of well-made stouts, well, I mean, I think they're well-made because they have this flavor, but it tastes like runoff, like wort.
Yeah, it's not wordy. It's
not wordy, but it has that, you know what I mean, that like richness and character that you would get from a wort, but not overly sweet. So it's that dark grain flavor balance that I think is super hard to achieve. I'm brewing stouts forever, and it's one of my favorite styles, and that would be a hard flavor to replicate.
I just had a fellow last week in the tap room that came in and he said, I've heard about your milk stout. I really want to try it. And I looked at him and said, I'm sorry, we blew it a week and a half ago.
Oh.
And managed to find a hidden partial fill bottle somewhere. And he said, okay, when is this on again? I'm putting it in my calendar. When I come back up, I want to come in and have this fresh on tap.
Wow. Yeah. Where was he reading it about?
I have no idea where he'd heard about it. We also have had a couple people from San Diego come in and say, oh, I've heard about your beers. I want to come have some.
Huh.
It's you know, we're close to the airport, so we get a lot of travelers, and yeah. I've got some great friends that I've met from North Carolina, from Maine, from New Hampshire, all over the country. It's really cool, the people that come in. That the brewer from Texas that, yep. that Ross had in.
Yeah, Blue Owl Brewing, she came by, the head brewer there, and we talked yeah. about sours for, I don't know, 5 or 6 hours. My wife was texting me, "Where are you?" I'm like, "I'm talking beer."
Where else would I be?
I'm having too much fun to come home.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It is interesting with in this industry where it's it still feels kind of like a small industry, but it is but it's worldwide. It's a small community, but it's worldwide.
It seems small enough that it's still fun to do the those conversations with somebody that enjoying every minute.
Well,
and that goes
back to the Pink Boots tour that we did. We had a gal that owns a brewery in Melbourne, Australia. We had a gal from Canada. We had a gal that's brewing down in Peru and all over the country. And, I mean, it's just really fantastic to have all these different people come together for this, 13-person tour.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. All right, Tasty.
Yeah.
It's hazy IPA time.
All right.
Now, Tasty, here's the expert on hazy IPAs.
Yeah, I'm not an expert. No, no.
You're the in-house expert.
I have like a green light, red light on that. Some I like, some I don't.
Yeah, well, as far as people in this studio, you drink
wonderful.
The most of them.
They're probably doing more than you, for sure. Nice aroma.
How long have you guys been making a hazy IPA?
We released it, I believe it was February. Mark Craig piloted up for me. He was like, "We got to make a hazy IPA. We got to do it. We got to do it." I'm going, we're a German brewery, dude. He's like, "No, it's the thing. That's you're going to sell a bunch." Yeah. And so by May, he'd done, I think, 6 different test batches.
Mm-hmm.
I sat there and sampled them. I said, "I love it. Let's do it." Well, I didn't say I love it because I like German beers, but I said, "Let's do it." But I'm going to throw a twist. We're going to use Skagit Valley. So it's going to be 100% local Pacific Northwest beer. So it's all Yakima grown hops, Skagit Valley malt, and then we use Portland cultured yeast.
Okay.
That's a Portland yeast provider? I see.
Yeah, Imperial yeast for that
one. And where were the malts from?
From Skagit Valley.
Okay. Cool. Wow.
Well, you know what? I like...
It's a local...
You put your spin on it, man. You make that beer style work for you and for your agenda.
Which is exactly what I think we did.
Yeah. I think so, too.
This is a good one. You got the green light.
Yeah,
cheat. There you go.
That's all I know. It doesn't have that aspirin character in the end, which I think a lot of them end up having.
No, it doesn't, and it's not super velvety smooth. I mean, it is smooth. The mouth character is smooth, and it's I don't want to say creamy because I don't know a whole lot about the style, so I don't want to like mischaracterize it. But there is still a little bit of texture, I guess, for lack of a better term. In the mouthfeel, which I like. To me, one of the problems with hazy beers in general is that they're too creamy. They don't really taste like anything. It's kind of like
they're muddled, so there's an empty spot through the middle of the palate.
Yeah,
this
and
beer's
I don't
nice
like that.
Because you can taste hops through the middle. Yeah.
Yes.
Which is part of the reason we still have a 60-minute edition. Well, it's really small 60-minute edition. Mm-hmm. We're using Magnum in there, Washington Grown Magnum.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I wanted to help keep that IPA character, and I didn't want it to be muddled. I wanted to have the beginning. I wanted to have the end.
Exactly. You want to have a finish in the beer, right? Yeah. No, that's great. Good flavors. So you do a lot of late edition hopping in this beer?
Yeah, that's it's like a 4-ounce edition of Magnum at 60, and then everything else is Whirlpool, and then a giant dry hop, and it's Citra Cryo and Amarillo.
Okay, the cryo hops.
Yeah. Yeah, I contract brew for another brewery. I can't say who they are, but they were the ones that said, "We use cryo hops in this beer." And I went, okay, I hadn't wanted to buy those because they're stupid expensive. But once I had some in the cooler, I said, well, I may as well use them in some of my stuff too.
Sure.
Why not?
Yeah, so I ended up spending, $4,000 on an order of cryo hops the other day just because we're selling so much of that hazy IPA.
Yeah.
Well, how does that work out alpha, beta-wise? Isn't it like twice the alpha? I mean...
It's 26.2 alpha.
Right. So you said Citra, right? Citra.
Right? Oh, yeah.
So just normal Citra is going to be about half those numbers, right? Like,
or less.
Yeah. So you use half as much to get the same effect, right? And that'd be true.
Exactly. You don't get vegetal out of it.
And you don't get as much. You get bigger knockout. So you get more beer out because you're not putting as much vegetable matter in that takes away the beer. So I just wonder if a person ran the numbers in terms of like you get more beer. You get you can use half as much. I wonder if it's as expensive as it appears on the invoice in terms of what it, you know, how if it costs you more to make
that
beer.
Too, and then I just stop wondering and put it in because
the beer is damn good, and that's our number one priority.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, the first time
well,
he added
worry about
the,
making
the
money.
Citrine and the cryo in, and he then sent me a text saying, you know, I feel dirty.
I had to pull a Cuban cigar out of my stash and smoke that down.
Right. But now tasting it, you feel clean.
Yeah. Exactly. And I've had a lot of people say, okay, I don't want those fruity beers. I don't want this and that. But I want an IPA. It's like, well, okay, we've got three. I'll describe them and hand them a sample of each. And like, oh my God, I want this one. It's like, well, that's kind of the citrusy one. Like, no, this is so clean. This is so just summer and amazing and wonderful. And
yeah,
we sell a boatload of it.
Good.
Well, your taproom customers are some lucky people. I think they're getting a good some good options when they roll in there.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, again, diversity is the key in a lot of things, but I think it's none more important, but than the tap room, than the brewery. Why, you know, craft beer fought for long and hard, you know, to give people options, and then you roll into a brew pub or a brewery or even a bar, and it's like we have 20 taps, and 10 of them are IPAs, and the other 10 are pale ales. Like, well, that's not really, okay. Let's get something going.
And around here, especially in the wintertime, 10 are IPAs and 10 are stouts or porters.
Which I love stouts and porters. I don't do IPAs, but I would get bored after the second stout. I'd be like, okay, I want to go somewhere else because there's nothing. But I am not, and I've conceded this many times, I am not the average beer drinker. So unfortunately, because I love this Hellas and I wish it was everywhere, like I said, but it can't be because, like you guys have discovered, there's not a whole lot of market for it. But you know what? You guys are making beers that you want to make, and people are coming over to your side slowly but surely. And I think that's what grows this industry more than 25 taps of hazy beers.
Diversity.
And that's what we're hoping. That's why we're going to get a couple horizontal lagering tanks when we go bigger.
Oh, nice.
Awesome.
We cut a few weeks off that lagering time.
Probably nice because that 2 months is kind of painful.
Yeah,
yeah, man, that's gotta be rough. Well, Ross and Mary, I want to thank you guys for your time. You guys have sent us a lot of beer, and we're going to share this with everybody outside and finish what's in our glasses. And if we're ever up in your area, we'll look you up. But not the Hellas. No, the Hellas is ours. The Hellas won't leave. They're going to go, oh, I thought everyone, they sent you six beers. Like, no.
Just five.
On the Hellas broke. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Sorry,
never
guys.
Never made it.
Yeah, never made it. And then maybe the Mexican Lager, there's a little bit left. I don't know. We'll see. But Four Generals is the name of the brewery. Renton, Washington is the city and state. And Ross and Mary are two of the people who are making it happen. So if you're up in that area, be sure to swing by. Check them out. And drink that Hellas and everything else, to be honest with you. Just sleep there. They will, Ross and Mary will drive you. It depends on how big your party is, but they will drive you to their individual homes and you can stay there for free.
Or if not, you know, there's grain in the back. It makes a good bed.
Yeah, maybe. All right, guys, we'll let you go. But again, I really appreciate it. Beers are turning out really good.
Thank you so much for having us on. We really
appreciate
it as well.
This has been great.
Awesome. Good. Glad you liked it. All right. We'll talk to you guys.
Thanks.
Bye.
Yeah.
That was cool, man.
Nice.
That was also brought to you by, appropriately enough, I suppose, the American Homebrewers Association, which is, as you know, a community of more than 45,000 individuals who share a common passion, beer. Since 1978, the AHA has promoted and advanced the most delicious hobby in the world, providing brewing resources, supporting homebrew-friendly legislation, offering exclusive member details at breweries and homebrew shops, and hosting one-of-a-kind events like Homebrew Con and the National Homebrew Competition. Join your beer-loving peers at homebrewersassociation.org. Man, putting Homebrew Con and then National Homebrewers Competition in the same like thing, it just reminds me that it used to be Home NHC, and I like that better.
Yeah. It was confusing when they had it was two NHC events in the same place.
Yeah, it was
same
true.
Same time.
Right? It was true. And and then I feel dirty talking about NHC, meaning the competition, because I feel like I shouldn't say that anymore. It's a whole thing. I wonder if they're going to keep it. I guess they have to, right? They've invested a couple of years in
it
now.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, there's no point. It's it's hard to get something to catch on, so starting over again would be kind of silly.
Yeah.
Hey, I see your shirt. The Suds Dud Society
shirt.
Yeah,
I'm wearing a Suds Dud. Yeah, they gave this to me. It's a nice shirt. Great feel. Fits good.
Awesome. Well, you know, that is the brewery t-shirt membership, where members receive a t-shirt, beer merch, and a homebrew recipe from a different brewery each month. And a portion of each membership goes to the highlighted brewery and to sponsor a local homebrew club in their area. So it's not just a company making money on someone else's, you know, homebrew recipe, and then you get a t-shirt or whatever. It actually goes back to the community and back to the people who, who help make it all possible, which is very rare these days. So join the society in the month of July to receive two additional pieces of throwback beer merch and homebrew recipes with your first brewery package. Go to sudsdudssociety.com and use promo code BNARMY at checkout, and you get a discount on top of all that other stuff.
It's kind of like a subscription box for beer lovers.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I'm drowning in live reads right
beer
now.
Of the week.
Fucking
just keep swimming.
Yeah. What about that? So,
well, and you know, part of the problem is me, and I can't focus. I feel like I should have a producer to help me.
Don't be rude.
To help me go through. Speaking of being
cut
rude,
her off now.
Bev dyed her hair, and it looks really good. She came to my house the other day for our Ears Up recording, earsuppodcast.com, and, you know, everything Disney. It's a lot of fun. And this hoe had blue hair. She had blue hair. She kind of looked like that broad from Are You Being Served?
Blue's common. I see a lot of blue hair.
I just know.
I just don't see it on bed. That's all.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. But I wish it was.
No, it is blue. Like, no, but it's not. It's not a look for Bev. For sure. It's a...
You blew yourself.
I blew myself. Man. No, Abby wants to be this character from this cartoon for Halloween, and she keeps asking me to dye her hair because her cousin, who's quite a bit older than her, dyed her hair for last Halloween. And
her cousin's 89.
She thinks that her, I'm as crazy as her mom.
You're a parent, but, you know, no is a great word as a parent.
Well, but I was like, okay, so I found this shampoo, and it's color depositing, and it's temporary. So I was like, okay, so it's temporary. We'll try. Wanted to try it out on myself
first.
It's not
dye. It's shampoo.
No, bitch. This is dye. I've washed my hair like 9 times. I'm using, like, most clarifying. My hair feels like straw. I've washed it so much.
Oh,
and like my bathtub is blue. My hands were blue.
That's
the song that Sam keeps playing. It dyed and stained everything. I mean, it's gradually cleaning up and washing off and washing out. My scalp was blue. My ears were blue. We will not be putting this on Abby's head.
Well, good for you to be a guinea pig.
But I'm also really glad I tested it on myself. So for now, my hair's just blue.
Before I go any further, are you a professional brewer? Are you planning on submitting beer to JBF? As you're preparing your next medal-winning recipe, send some of your finished beers to White Labs for the next big QC day and save on a bundle of analytical services. All you need to do is purchase a big QC day test kit before August 6th and get your sample submitted before August 20th. White Labs will test your beer for IBUs, alcohol content, a whole bunch of other stuff. Go to whitelabs.com/bigQCday. So when Abby saw that on your head, did she still want to do it? Or was she like, yeah, that doesn't look good?
She told me I looked
like... That's not a good look for you.
Well, what I said to her was, I was like, does my hair look like, is it the color that you thought it would be that you want for whatever the ladybug thing that you want to be? And she's like, no, you look like the girl from The Incredibles. You know, the daughter, because her hair is like blue-black.
Okay.
I was just like, cool.
Well, good.
Thanks.
She should just go to Halloween. That's her outfit.
Thanks,
now.
Abby. So, yeah. Honestly, I didn't. My hair is quite dark naturally. I did not expect this to show up whatsoever.
Mm. Yeah, I thought you were.
It did.
I thought you were having a goth phase.
No, definitely.
I feel like I'm gonna go out to the parking lot with Bev, and she's like, hold on, let me light up a clove cigarette and listen to Morrissey on my way home.
Exactly. No.
Fishnet stockings.
I look like that old chick trying just a little too hard.
Yeah, you're trying to be relevant.
No, I don't want to be. Like, come on.
You're fine being an old woman. Okay, I get it. Yeah.
I'm listening to the audiobook of Interview with a Vampire. Hold on, I need to get more vanilla-flavored clove cigarettes.
I'm fine with my vanilla my vanilla brown hair. Like, I'm good with that life.
Vanilla brown?
Just boring. Boy brown.
Oh, got it.
I don't dye my hair, so it's...
Well, you know what's not boring? Grape Fermentations.
They're not.
You go to grapefermentations.com. They're the largest catalog of Blickman products on the web. Like them all over social media at GR8 Fermentation. GreatFermentations.com. Good people. Support the show.
Wonderful people.
Did we already talk about Warren? About why he's not here?
Yeah. He lost his phone. He's looking for it.
He's lost his phone. He's looking for it. Apparently. Should we give it a call? Apparently it's off. He was emailing me. And I'm like, how are you emailing me, first of all? He was like, yeah, I was like looking for it online. You go to Google and do something and figure out
your phone.
Yeah,
you can register your phone and it'll ping it for you.
Of course, warned it. Whoever has it turned it off. So I feel like that's going to end up in China.
Oh, it's stolen.
It's stolen and sold already.
Yeah,
and,
it's probably changed hand twice.
Yeah, that's gone, man. But he gave some speech at, again, we're talking about some craft beer thing. I don't know what the fuck he was doing. I don't know what he was doing. But it was on like diversifying your beer portfolio.
Like beer lineup.
And apparently his hard drive died the night before his presentation.
No presentation.
So he had to stay up on the plane.
Shadow puppets?
And, no, he had to, I think he even had to borrow a, yes, he had to borrow somebody's computer.
And start over again.
And start all over again before his talk. So the kid had like 60% of his shit memorized because it's a Warren and he's a semi-robot. Well, but he texted me after. He's like, that did not go well. I'm like, why? And he told me the whole thing.
Well, he had a different expectation. It may have gone fine, but yeah.
Well, that's what I said. Yeah. And Jace had invited Jace from Shells. Oh. We had Jace Martin on. Marty?
Yeah.
Jace Marty on.
Yeah, sure.
And he was like, yeah, Jace was like right in the front row staring at me the entire time. Yeah, he's like, that made it really worse. I'm like, no. I'm sure you did fine.
You did. Yeah. Only you knew what you expected. They were open to whatever you did, so.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure Warren, I don't know. I can't be sure.
But he knows what he's talking about. That's where it starts. He may not, you know, has gone as smoothly as he hoped, but it's too bad he lost it like that. Wow.
Speaking of craft beer, craftbeer.com, whose mission is to tell the stories behind America's small independent breweries and the cities and businesses that support them. It's a community full of passion, authenticity, creativity, and camaraderie. Explore the world of American craft beer at craftbeer.com.
Have you ever watched Warren look at his phone?
Oh, yeah, I don't want to pick on the kid.
I just want to say, why didn't he bring a laptop?
I think he did. No, he did, but his hard drive died.
Yeah, the laptop, that's what happened. He had two problems. Lost his phone and his hard drive. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
He had two technology problems.
He's a magnet. His insides are magnetic. That's what happened.
He needs one of those hip holsters for your phone.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised. Or a fanny pack. Trying to push fanny packs for years now. This would be a perfect example of why a fanny pack would be beneficial to you.
Yeah, they're coming back. What do they call them? Belt or waist bag or something?
Waist.
They don't call them fanny packs anymore, is it?
Oh, they don't?
Or waist.
It's like a hip bag?
Hip bag or waist bag or waist something.
Hmm.
Whatever.
You know what's not a waist bag? The city of Concord.
Oh, yeah.
It's the perfect place. What it is the perfect place to start or expand your craft beer business. It's centrally located in the Bay Area. It boasts a strong craft beer loving demographic, which that is very true. Historic downtown is experiencing a boom. They're going to have a new apartment develop in the pipeline, all this kind of stuff. Industrial parks are centrally located off major freeways. And EJ Fair started there. Ale Industries started an industrial park. So we have some craft beer
cred. History out here for sure.
Yeah. The City of Concord's economic development team is ready to help you find a successful location to meet your business needs. Give Brian Nunnally a call at 925-671-3018. Good old Brian will hook you up.
Get you going out here.
Yeah, get you going out here, man. You know, Concord, we have a couple ale industries, moved to Oakland, I think, right?
Yeah.
EJ Fair out in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I don't think there's any breweries in Concord. Black Diamond's gone.
Epidemic Ales is out.
They are?
They're out there near where Black Diamond used to be. I mean,
okay. All right, so we got one.
Yeah.
Right. Man, and how big is our city? We got a lot of people, dude. I'm actually surprised we don't have as many breweries as, I don't know. Doesn't Walnut Creek even have a couple breweries?
They had one. As far as brewing beer, I don't think they have any right now. No.
Hmm.
But,
I don't think that's true. Yeah, Concord has 128,000 people.
Yeah.
And we have one brewery to service that. That doesn't make any sense. What we need is Drake's to open up a tap room out here. DrinkDrake.com.
We'll get them on it. All right. They have great beer. I'd love them to be out here.
Wouldn't that be good?
It would be good. Dealership number two.
They should really open it in Oakley, because I've been complaining out there for a whole fucking year.
We should be right next up the street from you.
We have nothing to drink out there. There's a couple like craft beers, but they're in Brentwood, and Brentwood is farther away and snobby.
No,
Oakley's my people.
We have to give it time. You kind of like going back into the past, because they're further back on the craft beer timeline.
Well,
so you just have to go back, 5 years when it was like here, You just have to wait.
Yeah.
Or travel over here. I travel to Oakland because they're further ahead than we are. So,
are they? Yeah. They're further ahead.
Yeah, they're further ahead on their timeline.
So you're a fucking time traveler.
Basically, that's what you do. You can go into the beer future by going to the bigger area.
You're kind of like Doctor Who, but you're more like a Doctor What?
It's a lot like that, actually.
Yeah, when I go to
another country, I go like, this is the way Fresno was a few years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm hoping that, being in the middle between essentially like Fresno and the Bay Area or Oakland, I guess, Oakley is kind of situated centrally. I'm hoping that wave will kind of move forward. I don't know how it skipped the other side of Mount Diablo and then went out into like the Central California. I don't understand how that happened.
Right. Well, the demand will be fulfilled. So if you get a bunch of beer drinkers out there, and somebody will build one.
Yeah, but by then, the new thing is going to be like vodka pills that you shove up your penis or something like that. Like, that's going to be the new thing. Craft beer is going to
just... Oh, that's way into the future.
Well, look, man, I'm out here living my best life in 38, so I don't know what you want from me.
Yeah.
I'll bring you some next time I go.
There you go.
I'm due for a trip soon.
Yeah, might as well.
Here, take this. It's called pee holing. It's fucking amazing.
You'll love it.
Yeah, no one knows.
You like the delivery system.
Yeah, Elon Musk's robot head does it. It's fucking amazing.
Okay, we should get the guy into doing something about beer.
You know what's great about beer is Beersmith. You go to beersmith.com, 21-day free trial, great software.
Great software.
Learn how to, what do they do over there, Tasty?
Does it all. You can do complete recipe development.
I know what he does. I'm just putting you on
the
spot.
He's got a lot of education on his website. You should check that out, too.
Yeah, Brad's doing good, man. He has a podcast out there. I think he has videos and stuff, too, right?
Yeah. A lot of good information.
All,
yeah.
Brad's a good dude.
Plus, you get the 21-day free trial.
Brad's living up in 38 with me, too.
Oh.
Yeah, we shove vodka up our penises all day. And I, for one, am excited about
it. You're all about it, huh? Okay.
Well, because, you think of Brad as being mild-mannered, but when he gets a few vodka pills up his dick, it's...
Mm-hmm. Changes everything,
The kid goes wild,
the wild
dude.
Side.
I got to tell him to, chill out. They're keep like, your eyebrows on. Don't shave your eyebrows off. He's trying to, he wants to have miniature horses as guide dogs. Fucking Looney Tunes, man.
Things outside the box, huh?
Yeah. But at the end of the day, he comes down. I deliver him back to his family in the appropriate timeline, and everything's fine.
Nice.
He makes a good BLT. You have some water.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good time.
Brent's a great guy.
You know what else is a good time, Tasty?
Yeah.
Brewers Publications, which, as you know, is the publishing division of the Brewers Association with nearly 50 titles in print and digital format, which is key because in the future, you're so drunk off of penis vodka... You don't have time to pick up an actual book because you're fucking.
Well,
fucked,
no, you
got to
drink in both hands, one up your whatever.
Right. Well, you got your dick in one hand, and pill in the other. You got to read with your glasses. It's a whole thing. Brewer's Publication is a beer book to fit most needs, whether you're a craft brewer, home brewer, aspiring brewer, or a brewer who shoves shit up his penis. Visit brewerspublications.com and browse titles on brewing science, the business of beer history, and more.
Nice.
Speaking of penises. Tasty.
Yeah. What's this segue?
Adam and Eve is determined to help you and your genitalia spice things up in the bedroom. Go to adamandeve.com, get 50% off almost any item when you enter offer code BNARMY at checkout. And when you do, you'll get the free Big O kit, and that's free. So you choose a toy or a movie or whatever you want to do. You get that at 50% off, free shipping, plus the Big O kit. There's a whole bunch of cool stuff in there. So go to go to adamandeve.com, use code BNARMY, and get that. Make your genitalia work for you. Make the internet work for your genitalia.
Exactly.
I think that's
Take
the new
the
timeline.
Great selection of products.
The new tagline. I'm going to email that. I'm going to email that to them. Make the internet work for your genitalia on adamandeve.com.
Good tagline.
I think so, too, right?
Yeah.
I think it's pretty good.
It's going to work well.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, wait a minute. You're out of...
I'm out of libraries.
Oh, well,
I fucking
gee,
did
whiz.
It.
Oh, that was quick.
Yeah. What do you need? Oh, was that it? You were like, right, you're queuing me up for a segue?
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
I knew you didn't have any. I'm just glad it's over.
Yeah, me too, man. Okay, coming up, actually, tomorrow, for those of you listening live for some reason, the one of you, Warren and I, our brand new show, Heads and Tails.
Oh, great.
We'll be here recording live with Bull Run Distillery.
I see a bottle of it over there.
Yeah, out of Oregon, out of Portland, Oregon. Actually, they sent a five-year single malt whiskey. Bev really wanted open. She's like, just open it. I can't do that. 100% malted barley from the Klamath Basin and water from the Bull Run Watershed.
Wow.
So I'm excited to drink this tomorrow. Bev will be here, of course, Bevo in the chat. And maybe her hair will be blue. Maybe it'll be black. Who cares, really? And then on Monday. What?
You seem to.
I really do, actually. Because I don't pay attention normally, but then every once in a while, like towards the end, I'll catch the like blue hue. And oh, yeah, she was stupid. On Monday, we have Family Business Brewing out of Texas, out of Dripping Springs, Texas. We're going to talk to Nick, I believe his name is. Last time I got it wrong anyway. So
actually, I think it is Nick.
Yeah.
Dripping Springs. Huh.
Yeah, it's like a suburb of Austin.
Okay, nice.
But Nate, it's Nate.
Not Nate.
Jesus Christ, dude, I'm stupid. Sorry, Nate, if you're listening. If you're not, sorry, Nick. so yeah, family business. So they just opened, I think, a year ago or something like that. So super small, but I'm excited to talk to them about all their beers. Then there's an off week going on, and then afterwards on the 20th is Imperfect Produce. Where we have basically they're a produce company.
They are a produce company that sells imperfect produce at a discounted rate. So it's basically just not wasting food, which I think is really cool. It's selling all the produce that supermarkets won't buy, but they've partnered up with some local breweries.
Oh.
So actually, I think we're going to have one in the studio as well. Freewheel? Is that what
Freewheel out of Fremont.
Yeah, we're going to Freewheel out of Fremont in the studio also. They are collaborating together on a beer.
Oh, great.
Well, is it called collaboration if they just buy fruit from them?
No.
Well, okay. They're doing things.
Freewheel. And Freewheel is great because they do a lot of English traditional style casks and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's a great brewery.
Then I think we're also just going to have some other samples of beers that are just on the market that have used this produce company.
Great. That'll be cool. And then the following Monday, on August 27th, Armacist Brewing will be here. And
out of Richmond.
Oh, shit.
Yep.
Hell yeah, Richmond. And then I've been told that Nate Smith is going to make a rare BN appearance sometime before, before mid-August. Which is fucking coming up soon.
Whatever.
It's basically next Monday.
Can't nail it down, huh?
Okay. Yeah. I know he's been working hard on some new Brain Oil tracks, and I've been told that we were going to get a sneak preview before the new
send
album
a demo tape or something, right?
In October. Man, that kid, did I tell you that kid's touring fucking Japan?
Wow.
Their band's going out to Japan to do some shows, so I think it's pretty cool. All right, Tasty.
Lucky guy.
I think we're ready, right?
Ready to go? Sure.
All
right. Bring us out of here.
Yeah. Thank you to Four Generals Brewing for coming on the show, sending in a bunch of beer, and spending your Monday night with us. And thank you as well for listening to this show. And if you guys have any feedback on the show, it goes to feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com. If you want to send any money, that goes to Jason or JP at thebrewingnetwork.com. Any spare hair dye goes to BEEVO, Bevo at thebrewingnetwork.com. And anything else, I don't know, Tasty at thebrewingnetwork.com. Why not?
Beer question, send it.
Yeah. Tasty actually really likes engine block photos.
Yeah.
So spam him with those.
Spam.
All right, guys. We will talk to you later. Be good to each other.
Later. JP's an asshole. Justin's a nice guy and we